You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
I would imagine that Greg Cody and Stu Gatz are very excited here because the trade deadline in football has arrived. I imagine a whole lot of people are wondering whether Deshaun Watson will be traded today. Von Miller was something that shook the league yesterday. He goes from Denver to the Rams. I love the idea. Everyone's like, whoa, the Rams are all in, as if they weren't all in the moment they traded for Stafford, as if there aren't, you know, a dozen teams in the league that are all in. But when you trade for Von Miller and you have three of the highest paid best players on defense, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, and a big name in Von Miller, I don't know how much he has left according to the analytics. I saw 4.5 sacks and I saw 25 pressures for a team that already gets a good pass rush.
I believe that's fourth in the NFL in terms of pressures. So he's still pretty good.
Yeah, they're pairing number one in pressures over the last few years with number four in pressures over the last few years. Von Miller is still good. He's not what he was when they won Super Bowl 50, but he's still very good.
I imagine better with Aaron Donald because Aaron Donald is perpetually taking double teams. But the thing about that team, and I'm assuming it's the same for you guys, when I think of the Rams, I do not think of defense. Like when I do word association, I'm not saying that they don't have a good defense. I'm not saying that Aaron Donald, I mean, I'd make the argument. You can argue he's the best defensive player ever in the conversation with Lawrence Taylor and anyone. But I just don't think of defense first when I think of that team. I think of creativity offensively.
Well, I think that's because of Sean McVay and his reputation as an offensive mind and an offensive coach.
Well, you've seen that Goff can't play, right? You've seen that Goff couldn't play before him and can't play since. Goff can't play.
No, he can't. But you think offense with McVay because he's a guy that took Jared Goff. You see what Goff is now, and he took Jared Goff to a Super Bowl. Like, he got that quarterback to a Super Bowl, so you think, great offensive mind, and maybe he realized, hey, in order for me to win the entire thing, I need to have a better defense. And he certainly has a, at least by name, has a fantastic defense.
What he's got, and this is, I mean, I guess those things can be synonyms, where you say that great players make for great defense, but what makes them great players is, and I think this is what McVay is playing for, is go get me the football. Like, go make these. It's not about run stuffing. Aaron Donald sometimes will go games where you see zeros across the board because they're just terrified getting the ball out, throwing it as quickly as they can because they don't want to turn the ball over. So they've got three players that go and create giant disaster plays. The Jalen Ramsey, doesn't he have two games this season that he's ended with an interception already for them? The game is finished when he locks someone down.
I honestly think you should it's not a sexy name, but Leonard Floyd is someone who has absolutely dominated games for them and has made impactful plays. They got a middle-of-the-road defense, nothing super special in terms of advanced metrics. However, Von Miller is still very good. He's got the sixth highest edge pass rusher grade on Pro Football Focus. Mina Kimes actually did a bit on NFL Live. The video is out there of what this signaled to the NFL. It's the Rams blitz sixth most in the NFL. If you look at the NFC standings right now, they're going to have to play some very good quarterbacks to get to the Super Bowl. They want to be able to get a rush with just their front line so they can sit all those defenders back, because if they blitz as much as they have against the likes of Kyler Murray and Aaron Rodgers, they might be carved up.
They give up 21 points per game, which I think is like 11th or 12th in the NFL. So to Mike's point, it's a middle-of-the-road defense. But 21 points per game, usually that's enough for the Rams, where they'll score more than 21 points.
What I would say to you about middle-of-the-road defense is there are any number of ways to measure defenses. But when you're going to get players that wreck a blindside,
right,
cause fumbles, turnovers, I don't know where they are in turnovers, but my guess is whatever the metrics are you're using to arrive at 11th or 12th in defense isn't accounting for just somebody wrecking your offense and getting the ball back. And that, and Von Miller, beyond sacks, what he does is sacks and disruptions that knock the ball loose.
Well, the Rams are 10th in defense, which is upper third if you're seeing the glass half full, which is good. And 21 points is nothing now. If you're Matt Stafford,
right,
you beat 21 points.
Do you feel confident with the Dolphins giving up 21 points in a game and winning that football game?
No, but they don't have that offense.
Right.
If I had that offense, I'd feel fine giving up 21 points per game. They're tied for fourth in terms of turnovers. So they do turn the ball over.
This is how I would be measuring defense if I'm McVay. Go get me the ball back.
Yes. They got a guy, you can go get him with the ball back.
Be middle of the road.
Right.
Be middle of the road. Go. I want to play offense. Get me the ball.
Pro Football Focus rates the Rams defense quite highly. They're top five defense there. I think as high as number two.
Because they are factoring in turnovers.
Yeah, they're
they have to.
Yeah, and they the tape grinders and analytics people, they just love what Aaron Donald brings to the team. I was surprised they had room for Von Miller, and then I read that Denver's actually paying everything. Yeah, most of the salary.
Rams don't have any draft picks, right?
No, they've spent all their draft capital trying to get to this moment, and this is in line in terms of an aggressive move. This is in line with what they feel is their window to win right now.
Aren't you upset on the other side if you're the Broncos? I mean, that division's open. You're 4-4.
Oh, they're not good enough. Come on, Stugatz.
What do you mean?
Not good enough. Come on.
You're bailing on a season.
They have the same record as the Chiefs, to your point, but they did get a really good haul on a guy that they probably weren't bringing back at that price. They did draft Bradley Chubb, and while we didn't get to see nearly enough of both of them together, they have a succession plan in place.
You will name 15 teams before you name the Broncos. I mean, 4-4. They spent a month losing football games because
They won their last game. I'm just saying, you're 4-4. You're in the division. You have a chance. The division's open, Dan.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do the Broncos have a chance? Like, I don't even know what. Nobody thinks that. The Broncos don't think that.
In Denver, they don't think that.
That game was so bad against the Washington football team this weekend. It was hard. It was just hard to watch.
It's Teddy Bridgewater being Teddy Bridgewater. I don't feel comfortable in a game where they've given up 21 points with the Denver Broncos getting me 21.
No, it's kind of hurt Teddy Bridgewater trying to do Teddy Bridgewater thing, so it's an even more diluted version.
You know what's funny about this, though? This is what I want to ask you guys, because Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I know that he did the braggadocio thing in the end zone where it was like, I've owned you all my life, Chicago, I still own you. But one of the cockiest things I've heard him say was he did a South Beach session with us and he said, I revolutionized the position. I made it so that that position can't turn the ball over. And Teddy Bridgewater will go out there and be competent for you. He will get you the 18-play, 70-yard drive for a field goal that you need. But what I thought when I saw Jameis Winston injured for the season, I thought to myself, my God, it must be terrible to realize as Jameis Winston, the difference between Tampa being 7-9 and winning the Super Bowl is just they had all of my turnovers, and then Tom Brady came in and just eliminated two-thirds of the turnovers. And the difference between me being in the NFL as a starting quarterback for a good team throwing for 5,000 yards, the difference between 7-9 and championship was me. And you look up and you're in New Orleans as a backup and you realize it's because of the turnovers. It's because the sport has changed so much that Denver will go into a season, you know what? Just get me Teddy Bridgewater. Get me Teddy Bridgewater. He'll do smart things. He won't turn the ball over that much. He won't take any risks. There will be no risks taken.
He'd actually be perfect, Teddy Bridgewater, to be the guy that replaces Jameis Winston. He was 5-0 in that offense. He was. I mean, he's a perfect guy to go get today.
Yes, that team. That team.
Yes.
New Orleans.
With that defense.
Denver wasn't a Teddy Bridgewater away.
No.
They did have a real good defense at the start of the season, but they've been nuked by injuries.
There are very few teams that are a Teddy Bridgewater away.
That is correct.
The Saints are one of them.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm with you there.
Carolina decided they were not a Teddy Bridgewater away because they were a Sam Darnold away.
I'm with you. I'm just trying to explain what the logic was behind starting Teddy Bridgewater. When healthy, their defense, you'd stack them up with anybody, and then their defense started getting hurt.
You mentioned Pro Football Focus. I just want to read this to you because I don't feel like this past weekend of football games that you would have answered what I'm about to read you as a list. I'm going to do a top 10 list here. I'm going to go from the bottom. This is Stugatz's wheelhouse right here, even though he doesn't like Pro Football Focus and neither he nor Cody likes analytics. Highest graded quarterbacks in week 8.
Mm.
Are you ready for this?
This most recent week of games.
Just week 8.
Just week 8.
But does this include Monday night?
I was surprised by the names on here. I don't actually know this because I don't know if it includes Chiefs-Giants last night.
I mean, neither of those guys
made the top 10. Okay.
Listen to these names. Like, I just couldn't believe the quarterbacks with the highest ratings in a league that we're fascinated by that position, and we emphasize that position. Number 10 was Josh Allen. Number 9 was Ryan Tannehill. Number 8 was Justin Fields.
Wow.
Number 7, Mac Jones. Number 6, Kirk Cousins.
Slow down. All right, go.
Why are you writing them down?
I like to write them down. It's a top 10 list. I mean.
So you want me to slow down?
You are 5.
When are you ever going to revisit the notes?
I'm going to throw it in the garbage.
The top 10 in an hour. Focus grades of week 8 of this NFL season.
Is there anyone in our audience writing these down? Like, was anyone else saying slow down?
Yeah, they all were.
You have to write them down.
You have to, right. Yeah. Yep.
Number 6 was Kirk Cousins.
I got that already. Speed it up.
Number 5, Geno Smith.
Geno!
Number 4, Jimmy Garoppolo. Number 3, Jalen Hurts. Number 2, Matthew Stafford.
And hold on. Was Jalen 3?
Yes.
Okay. Where was Jimmy G?
4.
Okay, you're on 2. Stafford. Okay. Number 1.
Sam Darnold.
Whoa!
No way. See, you can't trust analytics. Wow. You just can't. That's
Sam
ridiculous.
Darnold, Sam
How
Darnold
is that possible?
Any passing touchdowns.
By the way, the previous 2 weeks, Tua Tagovailoa was not only on that top 10, but high on it.
Wow, so you took notes 2 weeks ago.
I did. Well, it's all up here. You know, I don't write down. I commit to memory.
I had, in some respects, a sad football weekend where, because I was in the woods with no reception and very few channels, I felt like it was 1980 again, and all I had access to at 1 o'clock, which made me sad, was Carolina-Atlanta.
Ooh.
Oh, God.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, really? And so I wanted to ask you guys, Arthur Smith and Matt Rhule, do they represent the two most disheveled coaches? I couldn't have imagined that there would have been a more disheveled matchup, even though some body types out there do get ridiculed like Andy Reid. They did not give me a great deal of confidence just based on appearance, if you want that position to be leadership presidential.
I think Urban Meyer still leads the league in disheveledness right now.
Really?
Also, a tough weekend for him because so many people dressed up as him for Halloween.
Belichick's a good one, yeah. But Arthur Smith, I'm totally with Dan
on this.
They
never shave. So Rule and Smith didn't shave at all. They didn't even bother with anything in the realm of hygiene. And then during that game, Mark Sanchez gave the commentary of benching Sam Darnold, he thought, sent the wrong message. And I was wondering why.
The message was play better.
Is it just Mark Sanchez doesn't like to be benched? Is that Mark Sanchez looking at things?
No quarterback likes to be benched.
I understand,
really?
But Mark Sanchez, why is that the wrong message? And if you're not playing well enough, you don't get to keep playing.
I mean, Darnold was ranked number one by PFF.
He responded to the wrong message?
Yes.
So he responded to the wrong message.
I'm not surprised that Mark Sanchez would defend a USC quarterback that flamed out with the Jets.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Levitard.
I haven't told you guys that on my honeymoon in Africa, the hot air balloon caught fire.
What?
Stugats.
There are animals beneath you.
Jesus.
Animals that can eat you. And I look up and the balloon itself has a hole that is growing because it is on fire. And the guy seemed like it wasn't the scariest thing
in the
world.
Key. It's like looking at the flight attendant, making sure if they're not panicked, you're good.
And they were not panicked, but we absolutely did crash land near some dung. But the basket ended up sideways, just sort of spilling us out into the African plain. Yes. The basket's supposed to land flat. It did not land flat. It landed and then went to its side and spit us out. And my head ended up near some fresh animal dung of some sort.
When does poop graduate to dung?
When you're in the African plain.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
I want to also ask Stugats, because something I heard ancillary about, this was surprising to me, the 49ers-Bears game, is the announcer in that game called it a classic something's gotta give game.
It was.
Wow. How?
It was.
Yeah. Yeah. How?
Because those are two teams that are very similar. Yeah. And something had to give.
Mm-hmm.
Had to give.
Something did give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bears rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
And their pass defense.
Also, Arthur Smith looks like he spends all his time at a bar called the 19th Hole.
You guys believe that what could be elevated to a something's got to give game? I feel like the something's got to give game has to have better teams in it than Chicago and San Francisco.
No, I think typically that's how something's got to give games work.
Yeah.
You have two teams teetering on 500, right? If one wins, you look at their season in a totally different light. Something's got
to
give.
But Dan's thinking there has to be some sort of connection point, like some team has never done something.
I was surprised.
Well, I'm confused, to be honest with you. I'm going to try to get to the bottom
of
this.
I went to you because this was your wheelhouse. I was trying to figure out.
Did they give a reason as to why something has to get? I mean,
I assume that both of the teams were on a losing streak is what I assumed, because it was Chicago.
Well, then something would have to give. Yeah.
If it's matchup dependent, when they say that, then it's not necessarily something's got to give. It's more irresistible force meets a movable object.
Like, imagine the Rams and Bills playing. There's nothing that needs to give in that game.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is there anything that needs to give?
I could be talked into that.
No, that's a who's who.
No, I don't think anything has to
that's
give.
That's a who's
that
who. Yeah.
That
nothing
could be
has
a who's
to
who.
Give.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing's giving in that game.
It could be both.
A wordsmith can talk me into it. I'm just saying.
I don't think it can be both.
Oh, it can't be both. Never.
There's actually a definition for something's got to give.
And this is coming from the guy that invented It Factor.
I invented the It Factor. That's well known.
That is a bad
Coldstone.
That's true. Thank you, Billy. Something's got to give if it's a tie game in the second half. That is the dictionary definition. You look up something's got to give, and it has to be G-O-T-T-A.
What if it's a draw?
What do you mean a draw?
A tie. What if it's
a tie?
What if the game ends in a tie? Nothing gave.
Nothing gave, exactly.
But something's got to.
Well, something had to give but didn't.
Well, it didn't end in a tie, so something had to give.
But if it had to give and didn't, how could it have given?
But it did.
It didn't.
Yeah, it did.
Nothing was given.
The 49ers won.
In that game, but in a tie.
In a tie, nothing gives.
Right, but
everything
but
nothing
gives. But yeah. Both teams didn't give equally.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing.
You didn't even understand this with your anarchy exactly. When you were still talking about the Bears something got to give game and not the hypothetical tie. You know, before you came in here, Billy, today, I just turned to Chris and said, just right before you came in, I don't know what Billy believes truly about anything anymore. About anything, because I think you're just throwing grenades all over the place. And I don't believe that you have said something you believe into a microphone since before the pandemic. I believe the last honest thing you said into a microphone might have been more than 18 months ago.
I think you know someone.
I don't have any more analysis on Carolina.
Who does Billy think he knows? There was that bloody hand, Dan. What'd you think about that on Halloween, huh?
Matt Ryan's hand.
Or Matty Ice. Needed some.
Gushing blood and interceptions.
Should have been Matty Stitches.
But Calvin Ridley.
I thought what was interesting was watching this, right? Because I've made fun of some old pregame shows almost always as it relates to CBS, but I actually got to see some of the Fox one because I'm just not watching that stuff anymore. I find it makes my head hurt very often, but when you have no other options, all of a sudden you're watching a pregame show.
Is Terry Bradshaw okay?
He's got a cane. He's got a cane. I don't know what the procedure was.
Didn't he get a knee replacement? That's what I recall, but I could be wrong.
He's also talked publicly and before most and was confusing to people the same way Robin Williams was confusing to people about depression, given that he's got an outsized personality, is colorful. And Fox spent a lot of time, an inordinate amount of time, telling America on Sunday that you could win a suitcase full of cash from Terry Bradshaw. This is a very big... Yeah. Promotion. He is still a star, very highly paid star. Terry Bradshaw on that show was ahead of the curve talking about mental health publicly. And you mentioned Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley told people when they asked a couple of weeks ago, he just missed a game. He said, none of your business, which is inaccurate because literally it is the business of reporters to find out why one of the star players can't play. I understand why that would be his reaction. But the thing I was interested in watching the pregame show was Jay Glazer talking to Lane Johnson about mental illness, and then these men specifically trying to talk about this publicly. Michael Strahan saying, I've been friends with Jay Glazer for 30 years. I did not know that he struggled with this. You look at Jay Glazer and all the things that he embodies about masculinity and fighting and everything else. And he was saying off of the Lane Johnson interview, look, this isn't about muscles and manhood. We need to talk about this stuff. And then it went over to Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy didn't seem equipped for this conversation. Jimmy just said it's important that people love you, but he didn't have very much for this conversation. And I can't imagine that people like Jimmy would, even though Jimmy's son has struggled with addiction. You get to a certain age as a football coach specifically. I wondered how Jimmy Johnson, in the middle of that, was absorbing all of this. What are people doing talking about their feelings all the time? Like, what are they doing on this group of men?
What are feelings?
This group of men talking about their feelings. And I thought, wow, that is a seismic shift in the way that this is talked about, that it has made its way over to this place where these guys are talking openly about a thing that would have that had so much shame around it that Strahan, Glazer's friend for 30 years, didn't know that Jay struggled with this until a couple of weeks ago.
I appreciate them, even if it's clumsy, talking about it in ways that destigmatize it, because a couple of years ago, it doesn't seem like Calvin Ridley would have done something like this. The support wouldn't have been there. We just would have all been saying, what's going on with Calvin Ridley? What a disappointing season. Is this on Arthur Smith? What the hell is going on with this player? And now you have an answer for it. It's just very hard for football people, or people in general, to discuss something that they can't see, something that's intangible. It's a lot easier to talk about turf toe.
It is easier also to not talk about it, because how do you explain guy missing two NFL games,
right,
and there's not anything wrong with his body? Like, you don't see in that sport, you don't see very often a guy having an ailment that doctors aren't ruling him out. You saw what Arian said about Gronkowski, right? He said he shouldn't have been out there, but he kept begging me to play. What the hell does Gronkowski need to be playing in New Orleans for? Why does Gronkowski need to be playing on AstroTurf in the middle of one of the best tight end careers we've ever seen, when they only need him for touchdowns at the end of this season?
They headed into a bye week.
But like, what you understand? So what weird. You understand what I'm saying, though? Yes. The mentality, yes, of you.
Well, why is Bruce Arians letting him play and dictate whether or not he's going to play?
Well,
that should be Arians' decision, not Rob Gronkowski's.
What Gronk looked like at the first few weeks of the season was so shockingly quick and spry that, yep, you got so used to seeing him just labor down the field with sprockets flying out of his body that you figure, wow, this is what Gronk looks like healthy. He looks like Gronk at 27 years old. And then in that Rams game that he played at, where he took vicious shot after vicious shot, he was hurt very clearly on the first one, tried to play through it. You already saw him slowing down. And then this game on Sunday against the Saints, where he looked like the guy that he looked like for the past two times we've seen him play a football season for a team. Just slower, sprockets flying out. Once again, it's a very easy tell. If you see a spring or sprocket fly out of him, he's not healthy.
It is amazing how almost imperceptible some of this stuff is, right, Stugatz? Because Patrick Mahomes doesn't look physically like he's moving around the same way, that he's faster than everyone else. That,
right,
it doesn't, it seems a little more labored, does it not? Mike mentioned turf toe. He had turf toe, and it's a debilitator. But the mind is a debilitator that in football has never been allowed to be injured. You can't not be counted on, Stugatz, to, in that sport, be there by your teammate's side. And I do wonder how this goes over in these locker rooms, where I did not ever think that these locker rooms would be equipped for some of the stuff that is happening around the world that is infiltrating that locker room. I thought this locker room, this one in this sport, because of the culture, you play, you tough through it, go get the needles, you beg to play, Rob Gronkowski, even though it's weak. Well, what are you doing? You're Gronkowski.
There's a pie next to
your body hurts. Don't play.
They have O.J. Howard. It's fine.
They've got Cameron.
He wants to play, man.
You're three deep at this position. You're good.
You're three deep at that position.
I know Antonio Brown's out, but they put Godwin receiver in the slot.
Yeah.
It's insane. And the Calvin Ridley thing, to take it back to him, it made sense. It made sense. Just if you've watched him this season, he looks like a different player. Something's not right, to the point I'm like, is this guy hurt? What's going on?
But I have
the
more
mysterious
questions,
absence,
Mike,
in London.
Julio Jones isn't there.
I mean, Julio Jones missed a lot of time, and Calvin Ridley was dynamic.
Mm.
We had a conversation about the Falcons offense a few weeks ago. I would take Calvin Ridley today over Julio Jones. Well, today is a little bit loaded because I don't know if I'm ever going to see Calvin Ridley play football again. I assume so. But Calvin Ridley was a better wide receiver by the time Julio Jones departed.
But maybe there were more people, more guys in the NFL dealing with mental illness than what we thought. And so it's more acceptable now because they're understanding of it. Like, hey, it's okay if you have to leave me. I've been through it as well. And so perhaps we were off. Well, right?
But when you're saying more understandable, it's not like it's not shocking that Calvin Ridley has just put up his hand and said, I can't deal with this. I'm leaving in the middle of the season. It's not like you're seeing it all over the league. Like, however acceptable or understandable you think it is, I'm still surprised to see a guy raise his hand and say, nope. I'm the number one receiver on this team. You saw in watching too much of that Atlanta game, all they have is throw to Pitts. Throw to Pitts, right. throw to Pitts.
But you're seeing it in sports where Osaka is walking away from her sport at the height of her powers.
Yeah, but
individual
sports where you're responsible only yourself is a totally different pressure.
Totally fair.
Kevin Love did also leave a game. We didn't know what was going on. The Sigma is starting to whittle away some, but it's still very stigmatized.
I think it's significant. You mentioned Osaka, and Simone Biles to me was a watershed moment where the biggest star in the history of gymnastics is recusing herself during the Olympics, the biggest event. If you're a football player who's hidden his mental challenges, you look at that and you go, wow, Simone Biles? I need to check myself. And I think we're going to see more and more of this, the Lane Johnsons, the Calvin Ridleys. I think it's going to become more and more common for mental health breaks during seasons.
Talking about it publicly is several exit ramps before. The pressure of the huddle to be there for the guy next to you. Osaka's affecting her sport and Osaka. Biles was playing she was competing in team competition, so it became country and team as well. The reason I'm bringing it up in this sport is, and maybe Calvin Ridley will be an indicator, but it's uncommon in this sport. It's one thing. It was stunning.
It's the ultimate
team
sport.
It was stunning enough for me to watch Jimmy Johnson, Jay Glazer, Mike Strahan, and Terry Bradshaw try to talk about it.
Right.
It's another thing entirely for a guy who is counted on by that team and feels the pressure and the burden of that to raise his hand and say, my mind's not right, in a sport where guys are taking shots because their bodies are in pain. Like, I want to make stated clear, I do think it's strong. I do think that good for Calvin Ridley. I don't think it's just going to be understandable in the culture of that violent sport. I think there are going to be a lot of obstacles before the next guy is willing to raise his hand in the games that matter that much week to week and gives up his paycheck. I don't think it's going to be the most common thing.
There is going to be a lot of toughen up. There already is. But the thing is, Calvin Ridley, if you look at the timeline, did try to tough it out. He did try to play through it. They went to London. He skipped that game. They had the bye week. He played against Miami, caught a touchdown, but didn't look like Calvin Ridley of last year. Struggled in the passing game a little bit. And then just decided, I tried to give it a go. I can't. I'm not my best self right now.
I know it's an individual sport, but Marty Fish's story is an amazing story where the man could not get out of his car, could not play against Roger Federer. And it's an individual sport. He had reached the pinnacle of his sport, the match he had been waiting for his entire life, and because of what he was going through mentally, could not get out of the car to play the biggest match of his life. And so I wonder what the reaction will be, both from within the team and outside the team, if we arrive at a Super Bowl where one of the best players says, hey, you know what? The anxiety is so
We've
bad,
seen it before,
I can't
though.
Play with Barrett Robbins. I wonder what the reaction would be now.
His teammates crushed him in the locker room after the game. He had a bipolar meltdown and went drinking all weekend in Mexico and still struggles with it the way that Delonte West is struggling with it, where he's getting arrested claiming he's better at basketball than LeBron James and that he's Jesus Christ as his life. And a lot of people have tried to help Delonte West so much, and he's clearly unwell.
And Barrett Robbins was a center, right? He was a center. I think the reaction would be different now, but imagine if it's a wide receiver, a skill position guy.
You don't have to.
Before the biggest game ever and says, hey, you know what? Mentally, I'm not right. Can't do it.
What I would say to you guys is, after Calvin Ridley says none of your business, we have learned you guys really don't like the media. The media in general has a very bad Q rating. When Calvin Ridley says to the media, none of your business, I'm guessing most people in most circumstances like hearing person X tell the media, none of your business. But I got a bunch of questions about, does he have to answer them? Maybe it's not. Maybe it is not any of my business. But when your contract pays you to be a professional person who gets paid to show up, and now you are saying I can't work, I ask you, the audience, I ask everyone talking about this today, I ask you this question: what is our business there? Is he allowed to take fame on his terms and be like, you know what, I just can't do it. Please mind my privacy or mind your business.
I think this is such a difficult thing to talk about. And sometimes you're experiencing things and you don't know how to articulate them, what it is you're going through. It's tricky. It's a tricky one.
I think he'd be pushing away an ally if he just said, well, I have personal matters. I don't know the tone of how he said none of your business. He did say that he was out for a personal matter. The second he cites mental health, he would get nothing but understanding and respect from the media. In terms of allies around him, I'm sure he has allies in that locker room, but the media would be so understanding.
He must not feel that way if it's mind your business, though, Mike, because I'm reading it. I didn't hear it. I'm reading it. But mind your business doesn't get, none of your business or mind your business doesn't get said without tone.
If he's going something, particularly if he's going something for the first time in his life, you could look at a lot of things that he says and scratch your head at it, because someone might be manic in that situation and not recognize their own behavior as they're just learning about a new part of themselves.
But this is where I'm telling you, Mike, this is the spot right there. Well, do you want to normalize it? And I'm not talking to Calvin Ridley here. I'm just talking about how we talk about it, because I'm watching on that pregame show and they were just talking about it. They weren't actually talking about it. What Mike just said, manic, bipolar, you don't know where you are, who you are. You don't recognize yourself. You think you're bulletproof because you're on the high end of bipolar. Or you think you're suicidal because you're on the low end of bipolar and you don't recognize yourself.
This is speculative. I'm saying, like, manic can be bipolar. Manic can just also be like, oh, I can't stand by the actions of who I was when I was going.
I'm not diagnosing him. I'm just saying, when I see Richard Sherman behaving what seemed like out of character and then apologizing profusely as his family stands by his side.
Right.
I wonder where, because Kevin Love said panic attacks and humanized it. When we talk about this stuff, the details, to normalize it, the details have to be spoken plainly. Like, they have to, you need some of these details.
Easier said than done, though, right?
No, and I'm not saying it is any of our business as it relates specifically to Calvin Ridley. I'm just telling you, are we going to talk about it? Like, for real, talk about it? Or are we just going to keep inching into the conversation very slowly and saying, well, it feels good to talk about my feelings. It feels good. Or are we going to have the conversation about where mental health becomes such a detriment that you need to choose walking away from football because X, Y, Z, this is where I am mentally? How much are we entitled to is what I'm asking the audience and asking everybody listening to this.
I think it's entirely a personal decision. I don't need to know what someone's going through. I don't think, like, if they want to open up and help, you know, destigmatize it, that's fine. But that's not someone's burden to do that who's going through it. I think that's the burden of other people who are witnessing people go through mental health to help destigmatize. Like, the burden should not be on Calvin Ridley to explain himself and what he's going through to make other people have empathy for him.
I'd echo that sentiment. And Calvin Ridley didn't outline what he was going through. Maybe he's still trying to figure out what he's going through.
He might not know. That's what I was trying to say.
If he came out and said, I have, excuse me, $5 fine. I have anxiety. I have depression. There are people, that, even in sports media, that can weigh in on their own personal experiences and continue to normalize the conversation. But he's decided to keep it entirely private. I don't know if that's the case within that locker room. I don't know what steps the Falcons took after that game in London to tend to his needs. A lot of NFL teams have resources that they didn't have a couple of years ago. But when they come out with such a blanket statement that doesn't give any detail, you just have to put your hands up and respect the space, I think.
I would think part of the healing for a mental health issue is being open about it. I would think that's part of the solution is Lane Johnson not saying I'm missing 2 or 3 weeks by some made-up ankle tweak, but because I need the time off for my own mental health. I would have to think that's a healing thing to do.
Yeah, but you decide who you want to be open to, you know, discuss it with. You don't have to discuss it with complete strangers and please the media. You decide that on your own, right? With something this serious.
Yeah, I think...
You talk to a psychiatrist. You talk to your loved ones. You talk to your family. You talk to people you trust. They certainly don't need to speak to us about it.
No, to the media, you're right. But by extension... I think fans are willing to be very open and receptive to this kind of thing. I don't think fans are receptive to what Ben Simmons is doing, but I think fans are very receptive to Calvin Ridley. If he comes out and says, I got a big weight on me,
well, wait
and
a minute.
I need
Ben
to get rid
Simmons
of it.
Ben last statements on this front, or I can't deal with this. Now, you can question it from whichever angle you want, but his last statement on this, after all of the other obstacles were put in there that now make people form what their opinions are on Ben Simmons, he went to his teammates and said, I cannot mentally do this right now. That is what he said.
He did after a time, but initially it was just, I want to be traded, I refuse to play,
but this,
before it got to that.
This is how I want to discuss this with you guys, though, because... On addiction and sobriety, recovering addicts do often get relief from sharing their story, helping others, make people feel less alone. When you guys say all of this should be up to the individual, and I agree with you, it should be, but you're not really talking about it then in ways that normalize it or humanize it, and to each his own. I'm not here to say that I deserve all of your private pain. But if you want to be an advocate, if you want to be an activist, if you want to be what DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love did in terms of normalizing this, I remember talking about this with Keon Dooling, Stugatz, because you mentioned Marty Fish. We're going to talk to him in a South Beach session about some of this stuff, that match in particular, mm-hmm. in the coming month. And we're also going to, Metal Arc Media is doing a project that we'll tell you more about later that involves the Penn State sports scandal of our lifetime and the damage that sexual abuse left on one kid after everyone left, the cameras left, all justice, quote unquote, was meted out. Joe Paterno died and there was no real healing. So if what you're saying is we're ready for this conversation, then one of the things you have to be ready for is, hey, I was sexually abused. Like Keon Dooling talks about this stuff. And it really damaged me.
Right.
In ways that are profound. And I don't know that men or men in sports are there yet. There's been a lot of progress made on that front. But addicts have arrived in a place, again, generalizing, but can talk about this to help others. We're not quite there yet in the way we talk about this. We're still talking about it.
But maybe eventually Calvin Ridley will be that guy. But Dan, his obligation right now is to himself, to heal himself first, to figure out what exactly it is that he's feeling. And then maybe he'll be the guy to articulate it correctly.
Oh, no, but he hasn't.
And we can have the conversation. Someone, I would imagine, along the way is going to be able to articulate, hey, this is what I'm going through on a daily basis. Well, we'll be able to have that conversation. I just don't know if it will be Ridley.
Well, but Ridley hasn't put himself out there as an advocate for this. He seems very reluctant.
Yes.
But you mentioned Osaka, and I tie it back to what it is that Cody just said about Simmons. Well, he did it this way, the wrong way, with trades and stuff at the beginning. Well, so did Osaka. Like, Osaka has bothered plenty of people with the way that she's doing it, no matter how much support she is getting, because she has the audacity to then show up dressed up at the Met Gala. And then there are plenty of people who are like, well, wait, what happened to Depressed? What happened to get the cameras away from me? It ain't quiet.
No.
Like, you guys say the media is going to applaud, and maybe the media was, but we started here with me telling you, people listening to this kind of hate the media and think the media is too liberal. And,
right.
and there's a whole division in this country based on people who think the media is lying to them and doesn't like how political and racial and biased the media is.
You got into a little bit of that in particular, the optics of presumably acting normally when... normally in air quotes, when your life is in a bit of peril. Rob Lowe talked about this. I appear like I'm an extrovert, but I'm truly introverted. I have anxiety when I go out, but people expect a certain thing of me. It's very hard for someone that has never been directly impacted by mental health struggles or indirectly by someone close in their family to wrap their brain around someone saying, I don't have time to talk to the media after a tennis match, but I'll take photos dressed to the nines in front of that very same media at the Met Gala. There, stop trying to apply what is your perception of common logic to these things. But, it's totally intangible.
But this is how you normalize
it. That's why Dan wants the conversation.
This is how you normalize it and how you humanize it. And again, I am with everything. I'm not going to be out here saying, hey, Ridley, you're paying. You got to give it to me. You got to give it to the grief eater. Grief eater needs the pain. But if you want to have this conversation in a way that people can understand with compassion, Osaka or Ben Simmons or anybody, but I'm guessing a whole lot of sports fans, anytime this makes an appearance in a time that's inconvenient, it's going to be like, oh, really? Now your mental health is a problem, Ben Simmons. Now, after everything else that you've done that would indicate... It would indicate mental frailty, Stugatz, like in a way that we've rarely seen. Doesn't want to shoot. Basketball player doesn't want to shoot. What is going on with his mind? Now you got to do it a way I like. But you got to do it the way that I prefer.
I don't think that people, excuse me, unless you understand.
$5.
That's $5. Yeah. My God, where's Mike's $5?
He said $5.
But where is it? I mean, saying it and putting it down on the table are two very different things. Yeah, here's my five.
Put it in the five bucket. I only had $1.
I was going to say, Dan, people aren't going to understand even if it's explained. Hey, press conference, I get anxiety. I just do. I can't explain it. I don't know what happens to me. I go to the Met Gala, I'm totally comfortable. People will never be able to understand it unless they've been through it. They'll never be able to fully understand what that feels like. And I'm not certain she could properly articulate it.
But the bridge gets gulfed by the talking about it, the humanization, the normalization. That's fine. Some people are going to set out compassion. Some people are going to have limits on what their empathy can be. But in order to get them to understand it, droplets here and there. Simone Biles starting a conversation. Lane Johnson talking about it. Jay Glazer and Jimmy Johnson talking about it. Michael Strahan not knowing that his friend had a darkness in his life for 30 years because men conceal it.
Even if people don't want to label it as mental health, I think anybody listening to my voice right now would acknowledge that they have had good days and bad days. They may describe it as moody. Who knows what they describe it as? But when you're struggling with mental health, you'll have good days and bad days. And also, you don't know what the person did to their body to make it appear like it was a good day. Things like alcohol and caffeine, they have adverse effects later on and actually make things like anxiety and depression worse. But if you're smiling in front of photogs at the Met Gala in that moment, you have no idea what that person is doing to either self-medicate or if they're just generally riding a pretty decent vibe that day and the next morning is, air quotes, bad day.
And 90% of people suffering from mental challenges like this are allowed to do so in private, in the shadows. Whereas imagine... how it exacerbates the situation if you're dealing with this and you're rich and you're famous and you're on a team and you're expected to answer these questions. Why are you missing two games? Well, it's none of your business. I would guess that just increases the burden on you if you're a celebrity or an athlete.
I believe there are a whole lot of people listening to this right now. Soft. The lot of you. All of you, soft. America's gone soft. America's gone soft. You're out here pressuring Lane Johnson and Jimmy Johnson and Jay Glazer to talk about stuff. Soft. And Jimmy Johnson's not allowed to have a contrary opinion. Jimmy Johnson's not allowed after the Lane Johnson interview when Jay Glazer, Jimmy Johnson's not allowed to say, you know what? Bleep off all of you. Right. I would have ridden you all into the ground in pursuit of my titles.
Yeah.
It's much braver to come out with your mental health struggles to the world than to sit on Twitter behind an egg avatar and call people soft.
Jimmy Johnson. Have this conversation with him when he was making one of these Super Bowl runs. Hey, Michael Irvin, what, you can't play for a couple of games? Yeah, Michael Irvin, what's wrong with you? Anything physically?
Right. Give John Gruden truth serum on this topic. See
give a whole
thinks.
Lot of people in that sport truth
most
serum.
I don't want to give John Gruden any more truth serum.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.